Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Jonathan Jansen. He's a professor of education at Stellenbosch University and president of the Academy of Science of South Africa. Good morning. How are you?
All well, thank you.
So there is no doubt that we are going to be studying this for many years to come, the impact that this had on society on all different levels. But right now, one of the most urgent areas, I believe, are our children. Getting them educated during the formative years.
Yeah, there's no question. This is the big issue, you know. And the reason it's become so important is because of the lockdown since March 2020, and then of course attempts to continue learning for children under these difficult conditions. And the big challenge for the Department of Basic Education is how to sustain learning, not just for those who had a seamless transition from face-to-face to online learning, but for those who don't have those resources, you know, and that has now come up again because of the spike in infections and hospitalizations and death. In especially provinces like Gauteng. So the issue of continued learning is back on the table.
Mm. One of what seems to have been, I'm not sure if it's been missed or not, but one of the challenges, and when we spoke to the Department of Education, they echoed this, that they didn't realize or perhaps didn't take into account how little support the many of the kids were getting at home. Perhaps they didn't have access to technology. Perhaps there might have been a grandmother or somebody else looking after the children because the parents were working in another area. And this seems to have resulted in many months of kids just simply not being educated.
You know, that is disingenuous on the part of the Department of Education. These are black people, many of whom, like myself, know the conditions under which the majority of our children learn. It's no secret that most black schools don't have, you know, the
technology and infrastructure.
The Wi-Fi infrastructure. Mm. And we know that, you know, most parents are poor and working class parents who are either unemployed or out there and not with high levels of education, as with the middle classes. So to feign ignorance of those conditions is ridiculous. Clearly, if you have parents who are reasonably well educated, you've got, you know, high speed internet at home, you've got a room in which you can study without others, you know, cramming to that space, you're going to be much better off in terms of learning outcomes than kids who don't have those things. So we knew that going into the pandemic, you know. What is stunning to me, astounding, is that in the months since March 2020, we haven't had from the department any attempt to resolve these issues other than to do what they still think is the only hammer in their box, toolbox, which is to do sort of catch-up classes, you know, under these conditions.
Which is an absurdity, because surely there are innovative ways to try and deal with this. As you said, these circumstances are not unknown to South Africa. And unfortunately, what this does is it just creates a greater and greater divide rather than working towards a society where everybody's being educated. Here we see a situation. And as you correctly say, it largely impacts on black kids, which means that we are just exacerbating a problem that has already existed. We might not have chosen the pandemic, but we do choose how we deal with it.
Yeah, and I mean, the reality is that, and we've seen this from early research on the effects of the pandemic on learning outcomes. Mm. You know, my colleague Nick Spall and others, Stellenbosch, got some good data on it. And what is very clear to me is that for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years, we will still feel the effects, you know, of the loss of learning during the pandemic years. And the idea would have been that we had most of our people vaccinated by now. Of course, that's not happened. And that we would have set up, at least in the schools and the communities around them, some kind of infrastructure to enable kids to continue learning. That's also not happened. So so the gap that was already there that you and I know of is going to get wider, exacerbated. And we'll be crying in our hands for years to come. And, you know, in a democratic society, you know, this minister would have resigned out of shame. But our politicians, as you know, are shameless. And these kinds of life and death events have absolutely no effect on them.
What should they be doing?
Well, the first thing that they should be doing is declaring that there's a national crisis in terms of learning. Okay. The second thing that they should be doing is going into every school, in the townships, in the peri-urban areas, et cetera, and making sure that they begin to put in place, think long term here, the technological infrastructure to enable continued learning should schools close down again. Now we've seen schools contemplating closing down again. Epidemiologists tell us there will be more pandemics in the years to come. So, you know, all the warning signs are there that you need to start building that infrastructure. Okay. In the meantime, you've got to have training programs for teachers so that they are able to switch on and off, you know, as the circumstances require. I don't see mass teacher training programs for online learning. And then you've got to find some intermediary technology in the moment, at the moment, you know, that enables access. So universities have done this fairly well. Admittedly, there's, you know, only 1.5 or whatever million, young people in TVETs and in universities, but still, every student at almost every university has got the two things you need to continue learning. One is a device and the other is data. Okay. So, being able to do that, not for the fancy schools, not for the schools where your kids and mine go, but for the schools that have nothing. Okay. Try and establish that in the provinces and build it. The problem we have is not just one of capacity. It's also a problem of integrity. In other words, that the moment you sink anything north of a million rands into almost any provincial, you know, department, whether it's health, education, or, and so they steal the bloody money. Mm.
Yeah.
And so what do you do when you are held hostage to a very corrupt system where people have no qualms stealing the food, if you will, from the very mouths of the most vulnerable?
It's so incredible because, as you mentioned, the universities, I'm a huge fan of Professor Chilitse Marwala, who had already prepared UJ way ahead of a pandemic and could simply transition because he had created an environment there where students were able to use technology. And when we look at that, yes, of course, it's a significantly smaller body of students and it's a completely different environment, but you can just see how these things can be done. And you don't deal with a pandemic on the day the pandemic starts. You deal with it for years before. You create a culture of agility and the ability to move. And it's just so incredibly sad to see this because at the end of the day, it's the most vulnerable sector of the community of South Africa who will be paying the price once again.
Yeah. And you know, one of the very interesting things, having now studied our government and its educational policies, et cetera, for years, one of the things that's very fascinating to me is we have no capacity for long-term planning. We just don't, you know. So when there's a crisis, you immediately in crisis mode because that's what you did in the anti-apartheid struggle. That's what you did after apartheid. You go into salvage mode. But wise countries, wise governments, you know, develop long-term plans and say, okay, we're not going to get everything right in the first 5 years, you know, but we guarantee you 10, 15 years from now, every school will have at least these basic, you know, technological platforms in order for them to deal with potential shutdowns or interruptions to learning. Do you see any of that being developed? No. The Western Cape is the only province I know where they actually have a team of two or three people. Literally, I called them up the other day, sent them to a rural school in the Western Cape, and they set up the technology and it works, you know? But you need that at a systemic level. In other words, you can't just do this in one province or, you know, because of the good graces of some kind of techies. But that long-term planning, it's not what, there are many African countries that when March 2020 happened, they lined up, okay, to negotiate deals for potential vaccines. Already then, we woke up towards the end of the year when it was too late. You know, now we're scrambling, you know, to get the Russian and Chinese and other kinds of vaccines. But long-term planning is the one thing that we don't have, which is why Eskom is in a crisis.
I was going to say, as you were saying that, Eskom just popped into my mind. Because that's
exactly about planning. Right. It's a simple thing about planning in advance.
It was interesting. My late father was an engineer. And for years and years, he's been saying, they would do some of the switchboard, the distribution boards, and he kept saying they're not seeing the plans, and these things take 5 or 10 years from when they start seeing the plans and working them through, and nothing was coming through the system. So it's little surprise and very apt what you're saying. Is there any hope for our kids in terms of education?
Not in the short term, you know, but as I wrote for my column tomorrow in the Times, is, you know, there's so much to be harsh about and hard about, but what can we actually do? What's within our power? And what is within our power is the ability to every day your child goes to school or your teacher relative goes to school, just give them a hug. Just give them some reassurance. Just give them a sense that this too shall pass. I don't know what else we can do, but to be there for each other, because every single day, somebody loses a friend, or a relative or somebody due to COVID, especially out in Gauteng at the moment. And, we just need to stand together for the moment, but I have very little trust, very low trust in government to salvage anything, in the meantime.
Unfortunately, that is where we leave it. Fascinating conversation, Professor Jonathan Janssen, Professor of Education at Stellenbosch University and President of the Academy of Science of South Africa, talking to us about the state of education with regard particularly to our children. Not a lot of good news. I did try and find some good news there. I really did. Give me credit for that. I didn't want to end on a negative note. But I do love what he said. Before your kids go to school, just give them a hug. Tell them that this too shall pass. And of course it will. This too shall pass.